Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to LombardiAd.com's Packers pregame show on Blog Talk Radio, where for the next 30 minutes, we will be discussing everything Green Bay Packers for as much as our time allows. Hello, everybody. I am your host, Davey Miller, and joining me on the Packers pregame show is staff writer Kevin Dickens, who is a longtime Packer fan. He has excellent articles over on LombardiAd.com, along with our other fellow writers. So that's one of the sites to check out all your Packer news, certainly is LombardiAd.com. Also joining us today on the panel is our producer, Ray Rivard. Ray is going to be bringing us live reports from Lambeau Field later in the show. So I'm going to bring in Kevin. Are you with me right now, Kevin?
I am with you.
Okay. Well, welcome to the show. Ray's not available yet, so I'm going to get started off with you. First of all, is there anything that you would like to say?
I'd like to say that, you know, people are watching us closely in the NFL today, us Packers, and we're hoping, you know, that we're going to put together a great game plan. You know, a lot of people don't think we can get a win without Aaron Rodgers. And today is the day that we have to come out there and prove it. You know, our backs are against the wall. We've got to play with some urgency. The defense has got to play better than it was last week. And, you know, I have my faith
in that's what I was going to ask you, Kevin. One of the keys to the game, what do you think the defense has to do today to stop that, I'm not going to say vaunted Eagles offense, it's kind of a cutting-edge offense, and it's had its ups and downs, but it's kind of on a roll right now. What do you think that Packer defense has to do to slow down that Eagles offense?
They've got to stop LeSean McCoy. That's where the entire Eagles offense is based around. As he goes, they go. You know, keeping an eye on him, being able to keep him under 100 yards today, that's exactly what we need to do. And then, you know, the knock on DeSean Jackson is that he can't handle physical corners. So we've got to be physical with him at the line of scrimmage. If you don't bump and run him, he's gonna light you up. He's too fast. He's a spectacular player. So you got to get to him at the line of scrimmage right away. We've got to push him around, you know, and I think that's what we've got to do, and pressure. We didn't have a lot of – we only had one sack last game against the Bears. It's got to be better than that. Two tackles for a loss is not going to be good enough. Jolly and Raji and Mike Daniels, Deton Jones, and Ryan Pickett, they're going to have to get after Nick Foles today. They are the centerpiece of the defense. Where they play, the better they play, the better the defense plays. It's too much stress on the back end if they're not getting any pressure up front. So it's got to start with them, and from there we go on.
Well, I'll tell you, you couldn't be more accurate as far as we need to get that physicality back that we had the first seven games of the season prior to Monday night's Chicago Bears loss up at Lambeau Field. And that particular game there, our defensive line just kind of was lame. They didn't put up a whole lot of resistance, as evidenced by Chicago putting up over 170 yards on us. And going into the game, we were only giving up 82. So they more than doubled the rushing yard average that we had before. And they had two physical receivers, not only a Brandon Marshall, but Alshon Jeffries as well. And, you know, you mentioned the defensive backs, Kevin. You know, I'm not really seeing it with them. I think they've been the most disappointing group of the season. Yes, Micah Hyde's come in and had an impact. But Tremont Williams, I think Sam Shields is steady, but he's not making any game-changing plays. Nobody is. They're last in the NFL in interceptions, and with only three takeaways, tied with two other teams with losing records. And what's it going to take? I agree that the physicality, that can come back. That's an intangible that the ship can get righted with that. And that starts up front with those six men that have been manning that D-line, including C.J. Wilson, Josh Boyd at times. Linebackers, they're kind of in the middle right now. They're kind of just holding the fort. Everybody's injured. Those who are playing seem to be playing well. But, again, then you go back to the defensive backs. There's a long list of them. Devon House, Tremont Williams, Sam Shields, Micah Hyde, Casey Haywood, Jared Bush has been out. What's it going to take? Those guys have just been average. Our defensive back group has been average or even below average. They might be good, okay, covering, but there is no big plays coming out of that backfield. And over the last few years, with a lot of the same personnel, they were noted for takeaways.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, as far as the defensive back goes, Sam Shields has been the most steady. He hasn't been a game changer. He's just doing well enough to keep the top receiver, you know, from destroying our defense. But Tremont Williams has been a very big disappointment. You know, I think he's having a very rough year.
Should they start Devon House over, Kevin? Should they start Devon House over Tremont Williams and play Tremont in the nickel or dime?
You know, I've thought about it, and I don't. To be honest with you, I don't know if Devon House is quite ready yet. I'm interested to know why maybe Casey Hayward hasn't taken Tremont Williams' spot. I think he had a very good game last on Monday. He was very physical. Devon House got beat. He's been beat a few times this year. Him and Tremont Williams have kind of struggled against, you know, high caliber receivers. And I think maybe with Casey Hayward, you know, finally being maybe back into real-time game shape, that maybe he should be looked at as, you know, being that corner that starts opposite of Sam Shields, and maybe Tremont Williams and Devon House, you know, split reps between nickel and both of them are on dime.
Devon House has the cover skills out there on the perimeter and the speed to go with it. You can't really say that about Micah Hyde or Casey Haywood. They're both primarily slot corners. Yeah, they can go out there and cover from time to time, but for your down-in and down-out cover corner, it's either going to be, in my opinion, Tremont Williams or Devon House. Both of our points is no matter who's back there, you got to have some plays back there. You know, the defense, they've been stopping the run, and they haven't been getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback, but that doesn't mean that the D-backs can't be doing their job a little bit better. There's supposedly a lot of talent back there, and the cream just has not risen to the top. That whole group has been nothing short of average, and that's a disappointment. Your defensive line is a bunch of no-names, and they come up, and they've been playing big all year long, save for last Monday night. So let's just hope that the defensive backs and the defense overall gets back to how they were playing the first seven games of the season, and that front seven was just bringing the lumber, play in and play out, and our big, heavy-set linebackers were holding the edges. And everybody was just flying around, knocking people on their keisters. So let's just hope that Packer defense gets away, because that's what it's going to take, especially in the short term, but long term as well. But we need that more than ever now that Aaron Rodgers is down for the count for the short term. Why don't we switch it over to offense, Kevin? In your opinion, what can we expect from Seneca Wallace against the Eagles today?
I think Seneca Wallace is a very accurate short-range passer. You can expect a game plan with Mike McCarthy, a lot of running. And I expect, you know, Seneca Wallace, he doesn't have to be Aaron Rodgers, and he knows that. He just needs to play well enough for the offense to be deadly, you know, to make the Eagles think twice about blitzing him every down, to make the Eagles keep eight or nine out of the box. he doesn't have to be a miracle worker. He's just got to play within himself. I've always thought that he was a very underrated quarterback. You know, his record may not show at the 6-15 as a starter, but he never had the kind of talent around him that he has in Green Bay. He never had the Jordy Nelson or James Jones, you know, the physical back of an Eddie Lacy, the talent that the Green Bay Packers bring to the forefront. That's why everybody's scared of this offense. So he's just got to go out there, you know, make a couple of good throws, you know, be accurate and be turnover free. That's the biggest thing. You know, I think the interception that he threw on Monday, you know, might have been a product of you know, him being nervous, but you got to be turnover free. The error, the margin of error with us right now is very slim, and we need him to be as accurate as possible and as turnover-free as possible.
I think we're going to see some rollouts from Seneca Wallace, and I think he's going to pull down the ball or pull the ball out from the gut of Eddie Lacy and kind of do some run option plays as well. He's a different type of quarterback than Aaron Rodgers, not just in skill level, but in the style of play. He's a smart quarterback. And he's got a lot of experience, so I think the Packers can win this game. They got to feed the ball to Eddie Lacy. You know, Alex Van Pelt, I was going to ask you this as well. Coach, his running backs coach, says that, you know, Lacy's capable of carrying it 30 times a game. And we had talked about that before, and I'm thinking, holy smokes, he probably is, but Kevin, can we see Lacy carrying that ball 30 times a game? His running back coach this week said he can. Or are we going to see like 20, 22 carries and James Starks, you know, 8, 10, 12 carries? What do you think?
You know, I'm sure he is capable of 30 carries a game. I would prefer that he didn't. You know, he has been a huge spark for this offense, a huge spark for the team. And we have to remember, he's still a rookie. You know, the more the season goes on, the more that they're not accustomed to playing, you know, this many games and against, you know, this physical of a league. He comes from the SEC, but this is still the NFL, and it's very physical. I would prefer that he stay within the 20 to 25 carry range, and then you use a veteran like James Starks to spell him for 10 to 15 carries. You know, if it takes us to run the ball 45 times to keep winning, then do it. But, you know, you don't run Eddie until, you know, he's no longer good to you at the end of the year. You need his production. You need his vision. You need his power. You need his ability. So you're going to need, you know, carry 20, 25 times. He's just getting up to that. He looks like he can handle it well. But don't overfeed your horse. Don't run him down. Mm-hmm. You know, use your other backs.
Don't do to him what Barry Alvarez did to Ron Dayne. I always remember Ron Dayne carrying it 50 times against Minnesota as a freshman.
Exactly.
And I'm thinking, good Lord, man, don't do that. But
exactly.
Mike McCarthy has proven that he'll run that football. And if it's running well, he'll run it down your throat. Kind of let off the pedal a little bit last week when Chicago started bringing 8 men up into the box and we didn't have a passing threat. That kind of slowed everything down in the run game. And I think you can expect the Eagle defense to do what we're wanting to do to their offense, and that's stop the run first and, you know, make Seneca Wallace prove he can beat us. Before we go on a little bit, Kevin, I want to bring in the inactive list for today's Packers-Eagles game. For the Green Bay Packers, Chris Harper is inactive. Of course, Aaron Rodgers, cornerback James Nixon, linebacker Andy Mulumba, Derek Sherrod, Josh Boyd, and C.J. Wilson. Coach McCarthy's opted to go with five defensive linemen, including Mike Neal for six. Sometimes he goes with C.J. Wilson, but he only kept five active today. For the Eagles, you got Michael Vick, Bradley Fletcher, Matthew Tucker, Jake Knott, Matt Tobin, Dennis Kelly, and wide receiver B.J. Cunningham are the inactive. So that means that Nick Perry, Clay Matthews, and T.J. Lang are all active for the Green Bay Packers. And now we're going to hear from our producer, Ray Rivard, who is reporting live from Lambeau Field. Ray, where are you standing right now?
I'm standing at the 15-yard line on the Packers sideline. It's a beautiful day here, a little windy. People are starting to mill in. The Packers, a number of Packers are out on the field right now in their, without their pads on, warming up. We got Scott Tolzien taking some snaps and throwing to Jordy Nelson. You got the Mason Crosby's out here kicking without a holder from about 44 yards. It was short to the left. But things are looking good.
Yeah, what's the wind conditions there right now? I know it could change, you know, in an hour or so before kickoff, but what's it down there like down there on the field?
A little breezy. The flags are blowing pretty good. From the west northwest. Otherwise, the sun is shining. Half the field is in shadow right now, but things are. It's not bad at all down here on the field.
Well, it looks like a beautiful day for football, and you know there's no better place to be for it than Sunday noon at a packed, rocking Lambeau Field. Watched the Badger game last night at the beginning of the fourth quarter, or at the end of the third quarter, I should say. They jump up and down and bounce, and, you know, that's certainly a spectacle. And I think when they do that double wave up at Lambeau Field, there's nothing like it. So are you enjoying yourself, Ray? You getting yourself some brats up there? What are you doing up there at Lambeau today?
Well, yeah, it was a nice drive-in considering the construction that's happening around the city here. I got some food in the media center, and everybody seems pretty upbeat. Considering last Monday night, I think everybody has put that to bed and ready to move on and take on the Philadelphia Eagles today. You know, I've been watching Micah Hyde here field some punts, and, you know, I can really see why they moved him into that spot. He is effortless out there in fielding punts. He just seems a natural. He has no problems catching the ball, even in this wind. I just wanted to throw that in there because he's just, in his civilians out here, he looked pretty good.
Well, I tell you, that's what McCarthy's always looking for is those natural hands like a Charles Woodson. They just so, and the word he always used was effortless, and you described that right then. So that says a lot about Micah Hyde and his punt return abilities, and he's had some moderate success so far and looking for bigger things in the future. So what else would you like to tell us that we should know, all of our listeners should know? What would you like to tell us, Ray, as you're reporting up there from Lambeau Field?
Well, this is the first time I've been in the stadium since the completion of the south end zone. And I tell you what, this is an impressive facility. I was here, of course, and you have been too over the years and watched this facility grow, and just it's really a top of the NFL facility here. Mm-hmm. And all Green Bay Packers fans should really be happy about what they have here and what the franchise has done over the years. I'm also watching Scott Tolzien and Jordy Nelson here, and Tolzien just told him to go deep, see what happens here. He's got a decent arm. He's a classic, and it was complete. He's got a classic drop back form. Looks like a good athlete. Of course, everybody at this level is is the top of the line athlete, but you get him in the game situations and it's a little different. But things are starting to fill up here. Probably in the next half hour, these stands will probably be full as people start to move in and the players come out. So we're getting hyped up here.
Well, Ray, as you know, we also have fellow staff writer Kevin Dickens on the show this morning, and
yeah.
He's got a question for you. So, Kevin, go ahead and ask Ray your question.
Hey, Ray, how are you doing today?
Hey, great. How are you?
I'm great. You know,
awesome.
With T.J. Lang coming back today, what do you expect him to get a lot of snaps? And if he's not, do you expect that we'll see a lot of Marshall Newhouse out on the field?
I sure hope he starts. I sure hope he plays the whole game. It's kind of hard to tell from the reports, but he's been cleared. Again, with injuries, especially head injuries, they take them very seriously. If he doesn't play, then, yeah, I expect to see Marshall Newhouse out there. I just sure hope that he shows a little more know-how. You know, he seemed kind of lost on Monday night. He hasn't played in a while. He's playing out of position. So maybe with a week to practice on the right side there that he'll step it up.
Gotcha. I ask that
because
Marshall struggles, and I'm wondering maybe if we're going to run the ball as much as it's may predicted, maybe you put in a mauler like Lane Taylor, and keep Don Barclay on the outside, and maybe that's a better strategy, because I just think Marshall Newhouse is still a huge liability for the Packers.
No question. And the Packers like Taylor. He hasn't played that I'm aware of in the regular season yet, but they sure like him. They kept him around, and he is a mauler. So that might be a good strategy for the Packers to consider.
Yeah, now, Ray, we're going to let you go here, but why don't you take about another minute and give us your final thoughts. This is our producer, Ray Rivard, reporting to us live, remote, up at Lambeau Field. Ray, take it away and give us your final thoughts.
Well, here we are at Lambeau Field. You know, I didn't look it up, but I was curious as to the last time the Packers have lost two games here at Lambeau Field. That's something that we don't want to happen. Philadelphia Eagles come in here right in the thick of things as far as the playoff hunt goes. They got a wealth of talent as I watch DeSean Jackson here field punt. They can light it up. There's no question. The question on our side is whether the defense can step it up. That's going to be the key to, as the ball comes toward me here, that's going to be key to the next four or five games as Aaron Rodgers is out. The defense has to play. They have to play lights out, like you said in your post this past week. They got to get that mean, nasty streak back in them, get some takeaways, and turn some ball games around that way. So as a prediction, frankly, I can't remember what I put on our prediction board, but I did have the Packers winning by 6 points, I believe it was. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it may come down to a field goal. And in this win, who knows what can happen. So, but I got the Packers winning at home. I just don't see them losing two games in a row at Lambeau.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, we want to thank Ray Rivard for that live report from Lambeau Field. And now, Kevin, getting back to you, we were talking about the running attack, the dual running attack of James Starks and Eddie Lacy. You know, Lacy was rookie of the month for the month of October, and now the first week of November, he's rookie of the week. So since he's come back from that concussion, he's been probably the hottest running back or one of the top two or three running backs in all of football. So we're thinking we're going to get a steady dose of Eddie Lacy, but we're just not sure how that's going to work in tandem with James Starks. My thoughts is exactly like yours, and that is I like the way that James Starks is running. And I think a lot of it is because by the time he comes in, Eddie Lacy's kind of wore those guys down, and he's copying or mimicking how Eddie Lacy just plants his foot and runs. That's what Starks is doing. With the combination of Starks' own talent, I think that's a nice 1-2 combination. Your thoughts on that again, Kevin?
I would agree. I think James Starks is running like a man possessed. I think the drafting of Jonathan Franklin and Eddie Lacy was a wake-up call for him. That, you know, the Packers thought that he was expendable and that the only way he was going to stay a part of his team was to run and run hard every down, every opportunity that he got. And he's been playing that way ever since. And I think, you know, when he went down, you know, that was also like, hey, I can't fall back into the mix again. I've got to step up. Eddie Lacy's running hard. I got to get back in here. I got to do everything. I got to do my part because he's a veteran and he knows that eventually – He will be needed. I mean, he was huge in the Super Bowl run in 2010. They're going to need
yes,
him down the stretch, missing Aaron. And he understands that he's got to be a huge part of this offense going forward. You know, when Eddie Lacy's got – if he struggles, he's going to have to get in there and pick up the slack. And Eddie Lacy
– Yeah, and Andrew Corliss, Kevin, he was also a big part of that Super Bowl run once Jermichael Finley went down. There's some similarities with this year and that 2010 Super Bowl run as far as injuries beginning to mount up right out of the gate. 2010, if I recall, was like Jermichael Finley, Nick Barnett, Brady Papinga, Brandon Chiller, Ryan Grant, Morgan Burnett. Those were all major contributors. And it's the same thing here. When you lose Brian Bulaga, you know, before you even get started, and rookie J.C. Treader, and it hadn't stopped since. The big difference is Aaron Rodgers. We've never had to go a 4 or 5-game stretch without him before. If we can, you know, rally the troops and get back to being that hard nose, punch first before you get punched, and just take no prisoners, band of brothers type, as you're fond of saying, Kevin. That's what the Packers need, Johnny Jolly to be Johnny Jolly and not be pushed around like the Bears pushed us around on Monday night. We need to do the pushing like we did those first 7 games. And if we do that and Seneca Wallace can just manage the game and he doesn't have to do it all by himself, just don't make any mistakes. I think we have a chance to be okay, especially with, you know, the Vikings coming up and the Giants coming up. The Eagles was supposed to be a gimme, but this is not a gimme game. This is a Philadelphia team coming in vying for a playoff spot. Kevin, we got 1 minute left, so you got 30 seconds to give me your final thoughts on today's game. How do you think it's going to play out?
I think run, and run until you can't run anymore. And then when they are expecting the run, this Eagles defense is 32nd against the pass, dead last in the NFL. They're very vulnerable. So, you know, Seneca doesn't have to be Aaron Rodgers, but if he can be decent, we've got a great chance to win this game, and it should provide confidence going down the road for us. So, I mean, this is a big stepping stone for us, and I do expect us to get it done today and to prove that we can win without Aaron.
Well, I'll tell you, this is only the second time since 1992 that we've had to go into a game without an elite quarterback, except another game with Matt Flynn, but he came in just to rest Aaron Rodgers. But due to injury, only one game since 1992, and now here's game two. We're in unfamiliar territory here. I'm still going to go with a 21-17 Packer win. But it's going to be tough sledding for that offense without A-Rod. Eddie Lacy and James Starks should get it done. We'd like to thank you for listening to LombardiApp.com Packers pregame show on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to listen to the sports panel every Tuesday and Thursday mornings at 8:30 Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. For Kevin Dickens and our producer Ray Rivard, I'm Davey Miller. Go Pack, go!